I talked about Ziba's lie. And so this will be Ziba's lie part two. Amen. And we're going to focus in and talk about how to avoid deception. Amen. How to avoid deception, because there's many deceivers out there. And you need to be equipped tonight, amen, how to avoid when people try to deceive you, amen, try to take advantage of you, amen. And God can equip us through his word. And so by way of announcements, amen, it's a regular week at Philly. And so we'll have prayer Thursday, amen. I think because of the holiday, we're not going to be eating this Thursday, but next Thursday, amen, we should be eating. But regardless, come and pray, amen. For man shall not live by bread alone. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's Thursday. Hallelujah. Any other announcements, love? All right. So let's get started. Amen. And we'll look at the word together, starting at verse 1. The Bible says, "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of donkeys saddled upon them, 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, What meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, The donkeys be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat. The Bible says, And the wine there such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, And where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he abided at Jerusalem, the Bible says. For he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. And the Bible continues in verse 4. Then said the king to Ziba, Behold, thine are all that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my Lord, O king. Father, we sincerely pray that you would indeed add a blessing to the reading and the hearing and the exposition of your most holy word. You told us in your Bible, in your scriptures, in your holy writ, that whatsoever we ask in your name, that you would do. Well, Father, we ask in your name that you would drop down revelation, prophecy, sanctification, salvation, and anything else you see that your people are in need of. We pray that I would decrease and that you would increase, and we ask all these things, in the mighty name, the only name, Yeshua Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah, the Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right, saints, we've been in 2 Samuel. We've been talking about Absalom taking the kingdom from his father, David. And if you remember, amen, we've been looking at David flee from Absalom. Remember, Absalom stole the hearts of the people with pretended greatness, goodness, humility, religion, and numbers. And so we've been looking at David, amen, making a decision not to subjugate Jerusalem to siege warfare and all of the different atrocities, amen, of war. And so he says, listen, I'll decide, I'm going to leave the city and I'm going to go and give it unto Absalom. And that's just what he does. The Bible told us about different people who came to encourage David, like Ittai, the Gentile. The Bible talked about Zadok, who wanted to be with David. The Bible talked about Hushai, who wasn't a soldier to be used by David in the battlefield, but was an answer to prayer, who could be used by David within his house, in the king's house, amen, to hear and to report back to David. And so we talked about all of that. And last week we talked about Ziba. Somebody say Ziba. And Ziba, amen, was Mephibosheth's servant. But if you remember, Ziba didn't want to be the servant. He wanted to be the master instead of the manager, if y'all remember that. And so he wanted all of the possession of Ziba, of King Saul. We talked about Ziba's gift and how Ziba came with bread and probably watermelon and peaches and all kind of stuff. To pacify David. Bible tells us that a man's gift shall make room for him. And it's true in good things, but it's also true in bad things as well. So Ziba comes with his gift, with that desire on his heart to be master. And then we looked at C, Ziba as a manipulator. He doesn't really put his own hands on Mephibosheth, his master. But he slanders Mephibosheth. He lies about Mephibosheth. And he's going to use David to harm Mephibosheth. And that's just the way a manipulator works. Amen. And so we talked about manipulation, and we talked about Ziba being the model manipulator and how we should stay away from angles and stay away from having, amen, as though it were ulterior motives. Amen. And so we talked about that. Tonight we want to pick up in verse 4. And remember, we're going to talk about Ziba's Lie Part 2, how to avoid deception. When we began this series, we really just had 2 points. The first point, we was going to talk about Ziba. And the second point, we was going to talk about David. Amen. And that's, that's 2 number 1s up there. That's got to be my fault. Amen. No, that's just my eyes. That's number 1 and number 2. It's bad, G-Money. So listen, let's get to point number 2. We'll talk about David. And in that point about David, we'll have several sub-points. Amen. I got a bunch of them. We're going to move fast through them, and then we'll kind of conclude and wrap it up and apply it, amen, to the Hebrews and to our lives as well. So let's begin with this second point, David. The Bible says in verse 4, "Then said the king to Ziba, Behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king." Right. Saints of God, David in one sentence gives all of Mephibosheth's property unto Ziba in one sentence. In one sentence. You'll see it there. He says, Behold, thine are all that pertain unto Mephibosheth. And in the NLT, David says this, after hearing the story of Mephibosheth staying home and trying to be king, the NLT says, David says, in that case, I give you everything Mephibosheth owns. You see? David was deceived, saints. He believed a lie. And it was a lie against one of David's close friends. You know, the Bible says a talebearer separated chief friends. Meaning that if somebody come and lie on you, they can literally destroy the relationship of two people who was best friends. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? That's how deception works. Amen. I was talking to First Lady about the word a little bit, and she dropped a scripture on me. And I'm going to drop it on you, amen, and I want you to be thinking about it, and we're going to bring it back up in the end. Hallelujah. The prudent looketh well into his ways. But the simple, somebody say the simple, believe it every word. All right? I just want you to let that sink down on you. All right? Because, hallelujah, David, the man of God, and it's not speaking ill of you, because we all have bad days. David, the man of God, the anointed in his generation, right here is operating in simplicity. He's being simple. And it can get the best of us, y'all, especially if we have a bad day. We can be deceived, right? So in this sermon, we're going to give you some keys to avoid deception. Things that you should have in your mind and on your heart, amen, while people talking to you, telling you something about your loved one, your friend, your boy, your pastor, your minister, your deacon, your country, your nation, your people. This involves every type of story, every bit of history, every news article, everything you watch on TV, this sermon, I'm telling you here, it'll help you avoid deception here. On a small scale and on a large, grand scale as well. Because I'm telling you here, we living in an age of deception, an age of strong delusion. And if you don't know how to filter, the stories and the lies that people come to you, you're going to fall for everything. Come on, give God some glory for that. So let's begin. How to avoid deception. How to not end up like David, hurting your boy and assassinating his character. A, get both sides of the story. Now, we just studied this when we were studying the book of Acts with Stephen. And you say, Pastor, You only saying this because you don't have no other points. The devil is a liar. I got a whole bunch of points. But oftentimes when you see something back to back in the scripture like that, it means because the first time I said it, you might not have got it. Anybody hear me up in here? So we're going to bring it up again in hopes that you get it this time. All right? When somebody come and tell you something, do not believe only one side of the story. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? There's an old proverb that says, God gave you two ears so that you can hear both sides of the story. All right? Some of y'all just listening out of one ear. And you're going to get blindsided. All right? The Bible tells us once again in 18:13, he that answered the matter before he heareth it, before he know all the facts, it is folly and shame unto him. When you begin to answer, to cast judgment, to make an opinion about a matter before you get all of the surrounding circumstances and the facts, amen, it is foolish, the Bible says, and it's a shame. You see, you're being simple. And in this particular text that we have, David falls for it. The only person he talks to here is Ziba. There's nobody else talking. Mephibosheth is not there to defend himself, to give his side of the story. Amen. All he's listening to is Ziba. Oh, Philadelphia, I beseech you with all my heart up in here. As we move together as a church, as we grow old together as a people. Oh, I'm telling you, stories going to come. I'm telling you, hallelujah, talebearers going to come in and out of here. And people going to come with one-sided, slanted stories. Don't you operate in folly, and don't you bring shame and reproach to your own character by being simple and not looking well unto your ways. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Proverbs 18:17, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. This means that whoever makes the presentation first will always seem like they are right. But you have to wait a while. Amen. But because you not only have the plaintiff's case in chief, but you also have the defense's case in chief. And you want to hear both cases before you come and you render a verdict. Anybody hear me up in here? And that's what the Bible is saying. Ziba was first and David believed him without hearing a rebuttal from Mephibosheth. That's when you usually deceive saints, when you go on one side of the story. So here you go. You mad at one of your best friends. You're mad at your wife. You're mad at your husband. You're mad at your children. You're mad at, hallelujah, this person that's in this marriage. You're mad at the deacon. You're mad at the minister. You're mad at the pastor. You're mad at first lady. And you've only heard one side. I'm telling you right now, not me, but the Bible calls that simple. Not me, but the Bible calls that a fool. Not me, but the Bible says you should be ashamed of yourself because you had not heard both sides. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. In case you don't believe me, here's another scripture. 2 Corinthians 13:1. The Bible says, in the mouth of how many? Two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Meaning, how dare you go and just get one witness? All right? Go and get you a few witnesses. And just to keep it in line with the whole summation of scripture, don't get witnesses from one side. Get witnesses from another side as well. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right, this is the text. This is the text. I'm not adding nothing, taking nothing away from it. David just heard Mephibosheth and said, I'm giving all. He just heard Ziba and said, I'm giving all Mephibosheth's property away. He shouldn't have done that. All right? Second point. Amen. How to avoid deception. Avoid rash judgments. Avoid rash judgments. And what I mean by rash, I mean a rush judgment. I mean a judgment that's based upon emotion. You hear a story and it fires you up so bad. And you're not dealing logically no more. You're dealing with your feelings. Anybody hear me up in here? What I'm telling you is that the Bible you could trust, not your feelings. Because feelings come and feelings go. Amen. In fact, feelings can be projected on you. I'm trying to get deep here, all right? Feelings can be projected on you, meaning that if you are in a room and a group of people have a certain feeling, that feeling can jump on you. Oh, God, have mercy. In fact, when we look deeper into it, some feelings are actually spirits. Oh, God. For God had not given us a spirit of fear. Let me tell you something here. You could be in a place with a lot of people feeling a certain way, and you leave that feeling that way. All right? Because feelings project. Feelings project. You had a funeral and everybody said, what happened to you? You don't even know the person. You start crying. You understand what I'm saying? Because a feeling of sadness done jumped on you. All right? Well, a feeling of injustice, a feeling of anger. Amen. That's why the Bible says don't hang around with an angry man. Because what's on him can jump on you. Hey, God have mercy. We got to avoid rush and rash judgments. Because when you in the presence of a group of people, hey, God, how they feel can be projected upon you. You have no idea how many people get in trouble, actually lose their life, hearing one side of the story, getting upset, getting mad, and rushing out to fight or hurt somebody. You understand what I'm saying? Because it was a rash, it was a rush judgment. Keep it in the context of where we are. David operated in rash and in a rush judgment. He never heard anything. I'm talking about, Mike, as soon as Ziba told him, the Bible says in that case, in the NLT, like David didn't even think about it long. He just said, okay, all right, Mephibosheth won't act like that. All that he owned belonged to you. Took all that man's property in a rush judgment. See, don't rely on your feelings, no saints. Feelings are fickle. It's the word of God that's final. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, one of the excellent Bible commentators, they say this. David pronounced a rush judgment by which great injury was inflicted on both the character and the interests of a devoted friend. His rush judgment inflicted great injury on the character and the interests of a devoted friend. Now listen to me good. All right? You would never want one of your friends to do that to you. Somebody you're good to, somebody you're in relationship with. You see? To harm your character and to harm your finances, your future. Because some bird, some newbie come on the scene and whisper in their ear about you. Quick judgments, quick decisions about people, or for that matter, about anything should be avoided. All right? Should be avoided. You see? Another commentator says, he that is in the habit of obeying his first impulse, his first passion, his anger, his lust, will seldom do what is right. Oh, God have mercy. Y'all got to hear me up in here. If you're a person that when you hear something or something happen, you obey your first response that come out, you will rarely do what is right. And the Bible, the commentator says here, and you will never keep a clear conscience. Meaning that you're always going to do things that you ultimately regret. If you're a person led by passion and by impulse. You see? A lot of the time, saints, deliberation is what is required. And deliberation will take you a long way. And everything you do, take a little time to think about it. Anybody hear me? And you know what I really mean. Take a little time to pray about it. But that's another point. So I'm going to get to that here in a second. All right? David didn't think about it at all. He rushed into it. You see? And let me tell you, we got some in here. You know that you're a person of impulse. You know that you react. Hallelujah. If somebody just pick up their guard to hit you, there you go. That right is going already. Ooh, you be like, ooh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hit you. You know what I'm saying? Because you're a person of impulse. You see? But when we become saved and we become Christians, amen, God don't want us to be impulsive, saints. He don't want us to be quick on certain things. All right? In fact, the Bible tells us in James 1:19, I'm going to skip around, I'm going to follow the Spirit here. In James 1:19, it says, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear. If you're going to be quick about anything, be quick to hear. And when he say hear, hear both sides, hear all the information. Be quick to hear. But after you hear, be slow to speak. And what else? And be slow to wrath. You don't want to be impulsive. You want to be deliberative. You see? Here it is. In Proverbs 25, 28, he that had no rule over his own spirit. You see? When you can't control your own spirit. When something happened and you just can't even contain your own soul. You see what I'm saying? Now, you can control all kind of stuff at the job, at work, you're a manager. You can control all kind of people. Let me tell you the hardest thing to control, you. Anybody hear me up in here? So I don't get up in arms about people that got all this and got all that under control. That don't mean a thing. All right? But when you can control you, your tongue, and your actions, and your anger, that's when you're really operating in something. Anybody hear me up in here? That's when you done arise to a level of Christianity that's real. All right? All right? That's when you can arise to that. It's called self-control. The Bible calls it temperance. It's a fruit of the Spirit. In another place, it's called meekness. It's strength under control. And that's another fruit of the Spirit. We got a lot of people lifting up Christians who ain't got no fruit. Or got small fruit. All right? But I want to challenge you to allow the fruit of the Spirit to mature in you. And when you hear something, don't be rash. Don't be rushed. Don't be impulsive. Amen? You got to be able to have a fire extinguisher on the inside of you. When the fire come up, you go... Next time you get in touch with somebody, man, the husband or the wife, I want you to do that motion. They're going to say, what you doing? I'm putting out my fire. I'm putting out my fire. Come on, somebody say, I'm putting out my fire. I'm putting out my fire. Yeah, 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 yeah. Some of y'all might have to call the fire marshal on. Y'all don't have no sprinkler system. No fire extinguisher. You got to be able to put it out, baby. And David couldn't put his out. He heard the fire burn, he reacted. We can't be like that as Christians. All right? The Bible says, amen, a man who don't have rule over his own spirit. Look what it says. Hallelujah. He is like a city that is broken down and without walls. When you can't control yourself, you have no spiritual defenses. You have no spiritual defenses. It means that the devil can come upon you at any time and spoil you and rob you and take anything that God has given to you. That's what it meant when a city didn't have walls, it didn't have defenses. And robbers and marauders could come in and take. How many people know the devil just come to steal, to kill, and to destroy? And God has a beautiful future for you. God has beautiful things for you. But you ain't going to never be able to hold on to the future for the plan. You ain't going to never be able to hold on to the things that God have for you if you don't have walls to block the devil from coming in from stealing. Amen? So you got to have your walls up. And part of your wall is meekness. Part of your wall is temperance. Part of your wall is self-control. That devil's going to come on the outside of your city and try to stir you up to do things that God would not have you to do. And you got to be devil. You know what I'm saying? Talk to the hand. You understand what I'm saying? Talk to the hand. You know what I'm saying? I got my walls up, baby. I'm not going out there like I used to go. You see? A city with walls. Look what he says here in, hallelujah, Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You see, the true heroes up in here. The true spiritually mature, the true elders, the true people, amen, that God lift up even in this body. It's not the people that have all the giftings, the bells and the whistles, no. Because anybody can have a gift. You're born with it. But God said the real ones that he look at, the real mighty, are the ones, amen, not that, hallelujah, take the city, but the one who can rule his own spirit. Who want to be mighty up in here in the eyes of God? Huh? Who want to be mighty? I don't know about you, but I want to be mighty. I don't want to be rash. I don't want to lash out on nobody. I don't want to prejudge nobody. I don't want to get mad at somebody who never did me anything. I don't want to operate like that. That's how children operate. Anybody hear me up in here? I want to be grown, all right? When I was a child, I did as a, that's high school. Anybody hear me up in here? All right, I want to be grown, all right? So here we have David just being rash in his judgment, you know? Hallelujah, not finished with you yet on this point. Proverbs 14, 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. You see, in the hood we brag about, I ain't got no understanding. All right? But that's not something good in God's economy, y'all. Understanding and knowledge and wisdom, those are the pearls, the rubies, the emeralds of the kingdom. And you want to be a person of understanding. And you can tell a person of understanding because they slow to anger, saints. They slow to wrath. But look what it says. But he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. Mean they do foolish things. You know? Here's the last thing. All right? We want to be like our God. And how is our God? Well, our God don't rush into judgments. Our God is not rash. In fact, the Bible tells us in Peter that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance in the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Yeah, God getting the information, but he ain't just lashing out on everybody. He's operating in a long-suffering way. In the same way you expect God to be with you, you have to be with other people. That's the golden rule. You got to treat others like you want to be treated. Am I preaching to the wall up in here? Am I talking to somebody? Amen? We got to be like God. And we got to treat people like we want to be treated. All right? And so David didn't operate in that. Don't you know about your God? He's long-suffering. Don't you know Psalm 103:8 says the Lord is merciful. He's gracious. He's what? Slow to anger. And what? And plenteous in mercy. I got a word for you, man. All that blowing up, all that cursing, all that hitting. Let me tell you, that's immature as a Christian, man. That's immaturity, man. All right? You got to do something about that. You can't rush into judgment, man. You can't rush into judgment. Happy Independence Day. We declare your freedom from your temper today. Your freedom from your anger. Your freedom. Yeah, you're free from that. You don't have to do that no more. Greater is he who's within you than he that works in the world. You can suppress that. Come on, show me how you extinguish that. Come on, extinguish that. Shh. Yeah. Y'all gonna be fussing there and start laughing. Ooh. You just start doing that, Miss Amisha. Just start. I'm extinguishing. Because if I don't extinguish, I'm a TKO. So I'm. How to avoid deception. Huh? Get both sides of the story. Don't be rash in judgment. See, ask the Lord for wisdom. That's that praying I was talking about. Because some of y'all say, oh, Pastor said, think about it. And y'all super spiritual. Pastor should have said pray about it. Get out of here with that. This one is for you. Ask the Lord for wisdom. You see, what David didn't do right there, Miss Denise, he ain't never prayed. He heard about the lie about Mephibosheth and never fell on his knees and said, Lord, is this true, Lord? Lord. Give me wisdom. All I done did for Mephibosheth, he couldn't work for himself. He was crippled. He was out there in Lodabar in a barren land. He didn't have nothing. I went get him. And I went get him and returned all his property to him. I blessed him, all right? I not only blessed him, but I put him at the king's table. I made him a prince in the kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah. He wasn't even supposed to be around there. You know what I'm saying? But I overlook all of his faults and I put him at the king's table. All right? And that's what he's going to do to me, God. He's going to come and try to take my kingdom away from me. He should have prayed and said, Lord, show me if this is true. Show me if Ziba's lying, Lord. Lord, reveal it, Lord. You know, I made a covenant with Jonathan that I would keep his son. Oh, God, help me, Lord. I don't want to hurt Mephibosheth because God knows I could put it on him if I want to. But, Lord, please show me if this is true. The Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not. And look what it says. And it shall, not might, it shall be given him. We got to trust the word of God. You fall on your knees and you bring that scripture in there with you. And you say, God, I don't know which way to turn. They done told me about this person and I can't discern the truth. Father, give me wisdom. And you got to go in there in faith. Take that scripture. Your word said that you shall give it to me. I need it, Daddy. I don't know who to trust in this situation. Right? And he's going to give you wisdom. Now, you got to go in there with a clear heart. All right? You can't go in prayer already having made your decision about the matter. Some of y'all go in prayer and you're telling God how you want it to turn out. Oh, God, have mercy. You already, you know what I'm saying? And then you want to ask for a fake confirmation. Well, Lord, if my alarm clock go off at 6, you set it at 6. You know it's going to go off. Some fake confirmation. You know what I'm saying? And I hear Christians all the time, the Lord told me, I heard the Lord. And I want to tell him in my heart, you ain't heard the Lord. You ain't heard the Lord. You came in there with a conclusion already. One of the greatest things that you can do is, hallelujah, go into prayer and suppress your own desires. Suppress how you want to turn it out. Get your emotions and get your feelings out of it. Get your generational bondage out of it. Get all your prejudgments out of it and say, God, you speak to me. You have no idea when we go in the closet to hear the voice of God, how many of us come out having only heard our own voice. Oh, God, have mercy. Oh, God. Baby, I done heard the Lord, but you ain't come. You got to ask him for wisdom. You got to ask him in faith. You got to have an open mind and an open heart to where if God told you what you don't want to hear, you're going to still say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Anybody hear me? Because I'm going to tell you, some people you want to hate. Some people you want to believe that they did what the liars say they did. And I'm hoping that's not Mephibosheth, that's not David's heart against Mephibosheth. I'm going to show you I don't think that's it, but it could have been where they come and they tell you about somebody you already got some beef against. You already got some jealousy in your heart about them. You already mad about what they drive and where they live and what they have. And so you bring all that into prayer. You don't want to be at peace with them really in your heart. I'm prophesying here. Hey! The funny thing about the human heart is that it's deceptive. You see? And one of the greatest things that you can do in life is not only know how to control yourself, but know yourself. Me and my little wife sit down and talk all the time. And I tell her what's going on in here. And I'm not ashamed about it. I say, look, I felt this. You see? I felt this. I felt this. And you got to be able to enunciate that. You got to be able to go to your spouse or somebody that you love and say, look, I felt pride there. I was tempted of it. You know? You got to go to them and say, I felt jealousy about this. You see, because when you confess your faults, God is faithful. Hey,
beg God not only to forgive you, but to cleanse you of all your righteousness. Confess your faults. Therefore, you could pray for one another. Thereby, you can be healed. You got to open up your mouth, man. Know yourself. And talk about yourself to people. We so busy talking about others. We need to open our mouth. Look, listen, I felt that. You know what I'm saying? I felt an arrow. I felt a dart. I felt that. I felt that pride. I felt that jealousy. I felt that envy. I felt that lust. I felt that. Hey, I felt it. 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 And I need you to help me keep me accountable. My God. He went in there and he didn't pray. You got to pray for wisdom. Listen, in the book of Joshua, the Gibeonites pulled one of the greatest tricks of deception upon the Israelites. Remember, God had told Israel, amen, go and possess the land and destroy all the inhabitants thereof, because the cup of their iniquity had been filled. The things that they had done, sacrificing children and everything else that they was doing and worshiping idols and all that. God said, I'm done with them, man. Come on, the land gonna vomit them up. We got to get them out of here. So Israel's job was to be the hand of God going into the land to dispossess one group so that they can possess the land. The Gibeonites knew that they were coming and knew that God was with them. And knew that they were destroying cities like Jericho, when they were beating the Amalekites and the Moabites and the termites and the... What else y'all got? Termites. And parasites. All right? So the Bible says that the Gibeonites hatched to plan against Israel. And those that know their Bible know what I'm talking about. They put some old bread in their bag. Put old clothes on themselves and made it seem like they traveled from a long way, even though they came from just next door. They were in the promised land. They act like they came from another place. So they come to the Israelites. They say, we come from a far way and we've heard that God is with you and we want to serve y'all. Make a treaty with us and we're going to be y'all servants and we're going to be y'all slaves. And listen, we from so far, we brought gifts for y'all. Look, another one bringing gifts. We brought gifts for y'all. Amen. Because you got to watch that. That'll open up your heart if you're not discerning, if you're simple. So we brought gifts for y'all. Amen. And so Joshua and them boys, they look at their bread. Oh, yeah, that bread is old and moldy. Look at their shoe. Look at their hat. They ain't had no prime in years. Now, I'm just joking, but listen, I'm saying, listen, they look like they come from a long way, all right? And so Joshua and the elders make a treaty with the Gibeonites, all right? But what they didn't know was the Gibeonites wasn't from far away. They was from the promised land. And God had told them, destroy all the inhabitants so you can possess the land in peace. The Gibeonites tricked them. So they had a covenant, a treaty. Now they couldn't do what God told them to do because they made a covenant with people. And the Bible says in Joshua 9:14, and the men, the Israelites, took the victuals. And look what they did. They asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They didn't pray about it. They didn't get God's wisdom. Got this little thing for you right here. It's a little poem. It says, I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, because you didn't ask. Come on, give God some glory, amen. David didn't ask God for wisdom, and so he's making a wrong decision. Come on, D is the next point. Not only do we have to, hallelujah, get both sides of the story, avoid rash and rush judgments, ask the Lord for wisdom, but we got a D, avoid hasty generalizations. Avoid hasty generalizations, all right? That word hasty means quick again, like rush. All right. And a generalization is when you lump all people into one group. Amen. In David's case, Miss Iola, David was overwhelmed with all that was going on. Brother James, amen, his son had betrayed him and took over his kingdom. The son, amen, from his loins. Anybody hear me up in here? His good friend, Ahithophel, Mike, hallelujah, had betrayed him, stabbed him in the back, go on the other side and giving counsel to kill David. It's going bad, y'all. Not only that, amen, hallelujah, hey, Miss Karen, Brother Kelly, hallelujah, David's own people, y'all, chose Absalom and Ahithophel and the other side. So David is rejected by his son, his best friend, and his people. It's not going good. You know what I'm saying? And it's when we in times of trouble like that, when things not going good like that, is when the devil will kick a Negro when he down. You understand what I'm saying? He'll get you, boy. He'll get you. He'll get you. And one of the things he'll try to do to you is get you to make a hasty generalization. Is you begin to speak from your feelings. You begin to speak not from your heart, but from your hurt. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? You're in your feelings. And David gets that way sometimes. He'd be so down and out and so depressed. You ever said something like this in Psalms 116 and 10? He says, I believe, therefore I've spoken. But this is where I want to get. David says, I was greatly afflicted. I was in a troublesome time, y'all. I was in a low. All right? All right? And in verse 11 it says, while I'm in that low, look what I said. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Oh, anybody hear me up in here? I'm not dealing with all men, amen, in the sense of salvation. I'm talking about you just being so down and out, so depressed, so at a low point that you give up on everybody. All right? So David's son betray him. Huh? Ahithophel betray him. David's own people reject him and betray him. All right? And when Ziba come and Ziba say, by the way, Mephibosheth has betrayed you. Look what David said. That's about right. That's about right. All men are liars. That's about right. I can't trust nobody. Huh? If my son gonna stab me in the back, surely Mephibosheth gonna stab me in the back. You got to avoid hasty generalization, because a hasty generalization will get you to believe something about a people, about a group, about a person that may not necessarily be true. Help me, babe. Help me now. So we get into a place where we say in our haste, all men are. All right? And I'm not saying in the midst of, as far as salvation, yeah, all men are sinners, but you know what I'm saying now. Let me give you some examples of this. Let me flesh it out a little bit. When you get to a place where you say all white people are, that's a hasty generalization. When you become to be prejudiced and begin to lump everybody into one category, as though not a single one of them going to help you or try to give you a hand or do something for you. You see, when we speak from our hurt sometimes. We speak from our place of pain. And so one person in that people group do us wrong. And we have the propensity to lump everybody together. And so somebody did us something when we were small, maybe a white man or white woman. And now we want to just, hallelujah, put the blame on everybody. It's the hasty generalization. We'd have to forget about, hallelujah, Abraham Lincoln and what he did for blacks in the Civil War and freeing us from slavery. We'd have to forget about John F. Kennedy. Anybody hear me up in here? There's so many we would have to forget about. In my own life, I'd have to forget about Mr. Dahl Bordelon, who took me in as a son, who raised me. I slept, amen, hallelujah, at his house in summers more than I was at my own house. When I made good grades, he was the one who would begin to classically condition me to do good in school. He would pay me for my grades. And I would go there and say, Adam, I'm going to make better grades than you. I'm going to get more money than you from your own daddy. You understand what I'm saying? He was a good man to me. And he's still a good man to me, a second daddy. You see? The last church he come in, he dropped, hallelujah, almost $1,000-something on me. He said, Omar, he said, here, do something for the church. Buy this and buy that. You see? He'll still come in to this day and drop some cash. Babe, am I lying? You can't say all white people. You can't do a hasty gent. Huh, Mel? Huh? You can't. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that. That's when you prejudge somebody based upon a hasty generalization. God don't work like that. Right? And at the same time, neither can you say all blacks. Right? And you got situations that happen to white folk or people of another race, and something happened when they were small, and they harbor that hurt, and they speak from that hurt, and they lump all black people together as though all black people killers and robbers and stealers and murderers. Well, no, we got a bunch of them, but not all of us are. Anybody hear me? But then we have to get into the socioeconomic reasons why we in that place. But no, we're not going to get into all of that. But what I'm saying is, you can't lump all black people together. You see? I had a good friend in law school. Amen. Hallelujah. Black man kill his daddy. Black man kill his daddy. Murder. Cold blood. All right? Everybody knew about it. It was all on the news. I could say the names. Amen. And you would know exactly who I'm talking about. But I'm not going to say the names. All right? Hallelujah. But throughout law school and even to this day, I had never met, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, I ain't going to say I ain't never met, but he is in one of the top five bracket of most loving Caucasian people I've ever met. How a black man going to kill your daddy and you not going to harbor that hurt and make a hasty generalization and hate black people? In fact, this dude is one of the best defense attorneys in the city of Lafayette. Anybody hear me up in here? And he defend. I send people to him. I'm going to say his name. Donald Cleveland is his name. One of the best defense attorneys. Defend black people like nobody's business. Amen. And if people don't know, it was Dalton Prejean that killed his daddy. You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? And I love him. Throughout law school, he was so good to me. You see what I'm saying? Because he wasn't a man that could make a hasty generalization. Don't ever say all black people. Don't ever say all white people. Don't ever say all Latinos. Amen. That's prejudice. That's racism. That's when you make a bad decision. That's when people can come and deceive you. Don't say all men. All right? Because, hallelujah, some of our women in here, a man will do you wrong. So you want to lump all men into a category. All men are cheaters. All men are adulterers. All men are dogs. All men are pedophiles. All men touch little children. All men do this and all men do that. That's why a lot of our women, amen, don't have healthy marriages to this day. That's why a lot of our women are turning towards lesbianism and homosexuality, amen. Because some man done did them wrong and now they lumping all men into that. It's a hasty generalization. And the devil can deceive you like that. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Y'all still up out there? Y'all got me working tonight. And we can't say all women are. We can't do that. You know what I'm saying? A man get done wrong by one woman. She cheating. He catch her. Now, every woman he see and every woman he with is a cheater. You see? You're living from your hurt, from your place of pain. And the devil can easily come and deceive you. Anytime you want to start some trouble in your house, he send your old dream from hell. And you got a dream from hell, you wake up, you know what I'm saying? Look, who been in my house? That's from your hurt, dog. You've been cheated on. You've been hurt. Now you lump all women into that. You can't live from that hurt. You can't live from that pain. That's a hasty generalization. You see? And we do it all the time, saints. We live out of that. We got to ask God to cleanse our minds. We got to ask God to cleanse our hearts. We got to ask God to allow us to deal with people one-on-one. You see what I'm saying? And not group of men. David said, all men are liars. And let me tell you something. We do this all the time. You know, you can't accept authority because every authority in your life done did you wrong. Your daddy was messed up. Your mama was messed up. Your boss on your other job was messed up. Your last pastor was messed up. And so you're grouping all authority in one big pile. We can't trust them. As soon as they want to do us something, they're going to stab us in the back. You know, you go to every subordinate relationship, amen, saying all my bosses are liars. All my realms of authority, I can't trust. You can't honor them. You can't serve them. Because you're living from your hurt. I got to keep going, y'all. But all Christians are. We got some people in here. You done had relationships with Christians. It might be your daddy. It might be your mama. It might be your cousin. It might be your friend. And you watch their brand of Christianity. And it stinks, to be quite honest with you. They some of the most meanest, aggressive, hateful people that you know. They the ones that live at church one way but go home and live a completely opposite, hypocritical, disgusting, blaspheming the name of God type of way. And if you're not careful, if you're in the midst of hypocrites, you can come out and live out of a place of hurt and say, all Christians are like this and the devil is a liar. You can come and live with me anytime you want. You can come and be with me and my wife anytime you want. Amen. And we're going to show you we don't act like some of them hypocrites. What you see is what you get. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. No, I ain't perfect. In fact, you rub me the wrong way, you're going to get it. But you understand what I'm saying? But don't mean I don't love you. Don't mean I'm going to abuse you. Don't mean that I'm going to act unchristian-like. Don't lump all Christians together. And that's why a lot of our children not getting the legacy of Christianity. They watching unsaved parents do the most atrocious things. And when they get to age, they say, man, I'm out of here. I'm out of your house. I'm out of the church. And I'm out of Christ. A hasty generalization. It's not just with Christians, but it's with leaders in the church. A minister do you wrong. A deacon do you wrong. A first lady do you wrong. A pastor do you wrong. You watch something that happened on the news or some pastor doing something on the news. And there you go, you generalizing. You say, well, my last pastor did. Or this dude in California did. Or this thing that happened on TV. Surely all pastors must act like that. All pastors, all first ladies must act like that. All ministers must act like that. All deacons must act like that. All teachers must act like that. And let me tell you, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. And if you believe something like that, you deceive, saints. You deceive. You deceive if you believe something like that. Don't you ever judge a person. Don't you ever judge a person by something somebody else is doing. You look that person in the eye and you judge that person, not based upon something else, but based upon the content of their character. You don't judge unrighteous judgment. You judge righteous judgment. You know? That's how you judge a man. That's how you live with a man. You look at that man and you judge that man, but based upon who he is. Don't judge me by them pastors on TV. Don't judge me by your last minister. Don't judge me by that man that's over there. Don't judge me like that. Woo! Come on now, that's a hasty generalization. Get all the information. And listen, I'll be the first to admit, I want to say something before we move on. And we're going to conclude. Even with the Ashkenazis. Even with the fake Jews, the Khazars. All right? No, they're not the Hebrews. No, they're not the Israelites. But listen to me. I'm not going to dare say that every single one of them born from that blood is not, you know what I'm saying, is somehow not a single one of them could be good. That'd be a hasty generalization. And that's not right. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So no matter what you hear from me, lay that truth down because that's how I feel. All right? You know, we would be remiss not to talk about Benjamin Friedman, who gave us information so we could know how they operate. Shlomo San and Arthur Kessler. Listen, unless one of them came out and told us how they operated, we would still be in the dark right now. Woo! So you don't lump everybody in one bowl. That's what David did, man. David was bad off. He said, all men are liars. Yeah, that's true about Mephibosheth. Listen, I got a couple of more points, but I'm going to end off. Listen, Sambu, I'm going to flip the script a little bit, all right? Let me give y'all, I'm going to give y'all E, F, and G, and then I'm going to come back to E, all right? So, Sambu, go ahead and keep flipping on that until you get to the end of it. Flip on that. How to avoid hasty generalizations. Love. I'm going to end off on that. How to avoid hasty generalizations. Get godly counsel. When somebody trying to trick you, just don't make a decision based upon their information and your own being. The Bible tells us that there is safety in the multitude of counselors. Anybody hear me up in here? So you got to ask somebody, all right? And don't ask somebody, amen, that's on the other side. Ask an independent party. Ask somebody, amen, who don't have a horse in the race. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. G, don't judge by appearances. All right. And that's what David probably was operating in. Mephibosheth was still at the castle. Ziba was there. Mephibosheth brought him nothing. Ziba brought him gifts. Amen. You got to be leery about appearances. Don't think that somebody right because of the way things look. All right? Jesus actually says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. What I'm saying is that somebody can appear right and be wrong. And somebody can appear wrong and actually be right. This is the story of America. They judge an appearance. So the boy got his pants sagging. He smoked a little weed on the weekend. You understand what I'm saying? And this other fella, he's upstanding citizen, he shoot him. Which one look right? You see? We don't judge by appearance, man. We make righteous judgment. Come on, give God some glory, amen. All of these things, and I'm going to end off on love, all right? Sometimes the spirit catch me and I just go, my outline don't matter no more. All of these things that we talked about are important for you in this age of deception, this age of strong delusion. If you would operate in this, you would see truth, not only in your family relationships, not only on your job, not only in your church, but you would see truth in the earth. You see, if you would just get both sides of the story of who the people are, if you would just stop believing the Ashkenazis and actually say, okay, let me do an independent search. Let me search this thing out. Let me not be simple and believe every word, but let me be a Berean. Let me be diligent. Let me be prudent. All right? There's two people claiming to be the people of the Bible. Let's look at both sides. You'd be surprised how many people, including pastors, are not looking at both sides with a serious eye. They're just looking at one side. And this is not just in relation to who the people are, but hallelujah, evil in the earth. Evil is happening in the earth, and people are calling the evil side good and the good side evil. All because people are not looking at both sides of the equation. In fact, we go into Iraq, all right? We go to war with Iraq. We bomb Iraq out. We take Saddam Hussein, kill him, hang him. Hallelujah. The allegation against him is he's got weapons of mass destruction. Now, I was in it too. I never once took the opportunity to listen to what Saddam was saying. And all the while Saddam was saying, I ain't got nothing. But what I'm trying to show you is that when you watch Ashkenazi TV, Devil Vision, all you get is one side. And when you get one side, you go and you move rashly into judgment on one side. And then after you kill the man, you say, oh, he didn't have nothing. They're doing the same thing all over the world. You see, when we look at Syria, you know we only get one side of the story. How many people ever, hallelujah, went online and researched what the king of Syria is saying? Any of y'all went to find out what Bashar Assad is saying? I'm going to tell you what Bashar Assad is saying. Bashar Assad is saying some of the same things I preach from this altar about who in control of the world and who is actually controlling America. But here you go believing every news story that's on Ashkenazi TV. You did the same thing for Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. You did the same thing for Idi Amin in Sudan. You did the exact same thing for Chavez. And I'm going to hit you with a brick right here. And even today as you watch the news, you're doing the same thing to that boy in Korea. You never heard his side of the story. Oh, yeah, I'm going to hit you with it because you ain't never heard it. You ain't never heard. You don't know why he's doing what he's doing. You don't know why. You're just judging that man. But you ain't heard both sides. If we take these things, avoid rash judgments. A lot of times they get us sensationalized with the news and we make an emotional decision. If we take these things, ask God for wisdom. God, what's really going on in Syria? God, what is the truth that about North Korea? God, what's happening in Venezuela even right now? God, what is going on? Reveal to me what's going on in the earth. If we had to avoid hasty generalizations, amen, maybe we could stop grouping up all Arabs and all Palestinians and all Muslims. Maybe we can stop doing that, huh? And really figure out who behind ISIS and who behind some of the things that's going on. Because right now, based upon that one side of the story, Kevin Briscoe, what we're doing is we're saying, oh, all of the Muslims, all of the Arabs. But did you ever hear their side of the story? Did you ever ask them who they think really blowing up things? Did you ever ask them who the ones that's supplying weapons to the ones that's blowing up? Did you ever ask them to get their full story? Did you ever research what the people in Iran saying about the situation in the world? No, all you watch is Blue Rothfuss and... Yo, Pastor Deep, yeah. Y'all pass the deep. Because when you really hear the plight of those people and you hear the Palestinian plight of how they're killing their children and taking their land. You see, because, you see, when a person is on the stand, a lawyer tries to impeach the witness, to develop a character in the witness. We try to show the court that the witness has lied before, is currently lying, and operates in lies most of the time. These people done jack your identity, jack your land, use their ships to sell you into slavery. And that's the same people you gonna watch their TV and you gonna believe what they saying about Iran, about the Palestinians, about... Read Revelations again. The one that claims they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Everyone that confesses that Jesus is not the Christ is a liar. And see, y'all on some visa stuff. I'm on some world stuff. Get on some world stuff. Get counsel. Don't judge by appearances. Let's end off with this love thing. And we're going to go. We're going to go. I've been letting y'all out early on Sunday, so Tuesday I'm making up for it. I'm taking my time back. Y'all owe me up in here. We're going to finish off with that love. How do I avoid being deceived? Individually, on a worldwide level, in my family, in my church. Here's the last one. Love. If you operate in love, it's going to be hard to trick you. You see, David, if he would have been really operating in the fullness of agape love towards Mephibosheth, he would have never believed what Ziba came to tell him about Mephibosheth. Anybody hear me up in here? See, when we believe things that people come and say about one another, when we believe that, it's indicative of a love problem. And we don't love people like we say we love them. Because my love for you affects how I see you and what I believe about you. And my love for you affects even some of the things you may do. But I'm not going to write you off or count you off. Because why? Because I love you. You're my dog. I go down with you. You know what I'm saying? It don't mean that I'm going to say what you're doing is right. But I love you. And let me tell you something about love. Huh? Love in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go straight to it in verse 7. We ain't going to do no other verse. Go straight to it in verse 7. Love beareth all things. It believeth all things. And this is where I want to focus in. It hopeth all things. What I'm trying to say in the NLT is that love is always hopeful about a person. It always hopes. You know? And so when they come with bad news, you say, man, you got all the facts and stuff. But my love for them makes me hope that this just ain't true. I'm not going to believe it and receive what you're saying because something else had to have happened. You know, because I know them and I love them. You see, Philly, we need to upgrade our love for one another. We need to upgrade our unity for one another. You see, we are so quick to believe the worst about one another. We so quick to judge one another based upon one or two occurrences. Why in the world we don't judge people like we would want to be judged? Huh? Man, Miss Cherie, we all have a bad day. How they catch you on the bad day? You pull the girl hair while you're doing her hair. You know what I'm saying? Now, that don't happen all the time. But it was a bad day. Now they're going to judge you on that. You know? But somebody that love you going to say, look, if it happened, that wasn't in our heart no man. You know what I'm saying? They're going to go down for you. You know what I'm saying? And that's what David should have done for Mephibosheth. He should have said, like, look, man, he back at the castle, but he know he can't be king. Ziba, stop tripping. Our Lord don't even let a crippled man be king. If he would have just dealt with truth. When you're going to love somebody. When you're going to love one another. Huh, Philly? Huh? When you're going to love them. Well, it's like love is a shield that come when that gossip come in. Because it always hope. You know, I could hear something bad about you and not treat you no different. Because I love you. When you going to love one another? Love the teachers that come up here. No, they ain't perfect. Huh? They ain't perfect. But you ain't perfect either. When you going to love them? When you going to love your 12 leaders? They ain't perfect. When you going to love the deacons and the men? When you going to love them, man? Because a lot of the times what we're most hard on people about, if they only knew what was going on in our lives and it was going on in our heart and the way we was really living, we worried about the speck that's in our brother eye when we got that 2x4 stinging on our eye like that. You like that, Omar? That was brazen? Wow. So, when you going to love each other? When you going to love your leaders? When you going to love your pastor?
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Just look. Well, it's a hopeful thing. I know my love. The way you cooked that okra today, I know you love me. Woo! Have mercy. Lord, have mercy. That okra was talking to me while I was on my fast. I was waiting for my time to be over. Lord. All right, listen. All right, here we go. Love. And the basis is this. You know, we really want to strive to love one another as Christ has loved us. You know what I'm saying? Because he not only hear bad things about us from the accuser of brethren, he knows the bad things that we do. And look, Mike, it don't change his love for us. Right now, just think about all the things you secretly got going on. Think about the things you secretly got going on. The lust, the pornography, the unforgiveness, the hatred, the fights, the jealousy. Think about all the things, the pride. Think about all the things you have going on. Some in here still clubbing. Some in here still on the bottle, like a baby, still on the bottle. Still drinking. Still stumbling every now and then with a little weed and stuff like that. You know? And God knows all of that about you. Somebody here shacking up. Right now, shacking up. Fornicating. God knows all of that about you. And it does not change his relationship with you. His love. His love. Love you so much that while you were sinners, he said. He demonstrated his love towards you and that Christ Jesus died for the ungodly. When you gonna love one another like Christ loved you? When you gonna come, when they come with that accusation and say, so what? So what? As long as it's not something that's gonna disqualify somebody, of course. So what? I like to ask the talebearer, what you got going on in your life? When we gonna love each other like Christ loved us? There's somebody in here that don't know the depths of Christ's love. A love so strong that, hey God, he could know every single diabolical thing you ever did and ever said and ever thought. And if you call upon him tonight, while the blood still runs warm in your veins, if you open your mouth tonight and ask him to forgive you and save you, that love is so strong, he gonna overlook all your faults and he gonna see your need tonight. He's gonna reach out them NASCAR hands and say, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'm gonna give you rest for your souls. There's somebody in here not saved tonight. I offer you Christ. I offer you a love that's so pure that when mom and daddy forsake you, Christ's going to take you up. All you got to do is admit you a sinner. Believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. Open your mouth and say, Lord, save me a sinner. I make you the Lord of my life. The Bible tells us, whomsoever calls upon the name of the Lord, not might, not maybe, shall be saved.
Bow your heads and pray with me. I done took enough of your time tonight. Pray with me. Say, Father, thank you for your love. You love me so much that you died on the cross for all my sins. How could you do it? You know me better than anybody else. You know all of my shortcomings. Yet you still love me. Thank you, Lord. I admit all my wrongs. And I believe. Place all of my faith on the cross of Jesus. He did die. He was buried. And he did rise. Lord, save me, a sinner. Fill me with your spirit and anoint me with your love. Use me, Daddy. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory. You could do better than that. Hey! Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. Love you too. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom, with peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love y'all, saints. Be blessed.